Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please check out our website at ablazechurch.org.
I'd like to start out by giving you a little background first. A couple weeks ago, we had an international organization come in called Walk Through the Old Testament, or the Bible, and they taught us the history of the Old Testament, all 39 books, in 3 hours. Now, some of you were there, some of you were not, but next year, I just want you to know, the whole year, we are going to teach you the history of the Bible along with sign language. I'm just going to share what that might look like to you. For some of you who are here for Walk Through the Bible, it'll make sense. According to the Bible, the world began 6,000 years ago with the creation of the world. God did it in 6 days. Soon after the creation of the world, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and it is called the fall. From that point on, man became corrupt to a point where God says, you know, we're going to start over. I'm going to start over. And he sent the flood, and 8 people were saved on Noah's ark. After the flood, because of an incident called the Tower of Babel, God separated man with their language, man's color, and looks all over the earth. About 2,000 years after creation, God, through Abraham, made a promise to mankind. Abraham is the father of 3 world religions. God said, Abraham, look at the stars. Can you count them? He goes, no. He says, thus shall be your descendants. Well, Abraham had to wait a long time. He was 99, and he finally begot Isaac. Isaac had a child named Jacob, and Esau, 2 children. Jacob is the one who wrestled with God, and we use the arm that he wrestled with God. Jacob had 12 sons, okay? One was named Joseph. Remember the coat of many colors? If not, that's fine. Joseph led God's people to Egypt. There they became enslaved. After many years, God said, I'll send you a redeemer. And he sent Moses. Moses carried a staff. And after 10 terrible plagues, the last being the Passover, where blood was placed on the wooden door frame of every door, which is important, the angel of death passed over. Through Moses, God led the children of Israel to the promised land. And as they were going through the wilderness into the promised land, God gave the people the law, the 10 commandments. He tabernacled with his people with a tabernacle. It was a tent form of the temple. But the tabernacle represented the fact that God wanted to be with his people. He was their God, and the people were his people, and they were together. As they were headed to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, God gave to his people offerings and feasts, celebrations, all of which pointed to the fact that someday the Messiah would come. As they celebrated those feasts, they looked forward. Well, they finally came to the foothills of the promised land. And God had everybody counted. He loved his people so much, he counted everybody. Numbers were important. In fact, there's a book in the Bible called Numbers. And so the people all picked a leader. You ever been on a football team, and who flips the coin? The captain? Well, all 12 tribes had a captain, and they were spies. And they were sent into the Holy Land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And then they came back. 2 of the spies were optimistic. 10 of the spies were pessimists. Two said, beautiful land, let's go take it as God said we should. 10 said, oh no, they have fortified cities. There are giants over there. We are like grasshoppers, and they are like giants. We can't attack this land. And so the people made a decision based upon the 12 spies. They went with the 10. Even though God said, go into the land, I'll protect you, you'll conquer it. The people said, no, we're going to disobey God. We're not going to do it. And so God made the people wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And in that time, the generation that disobeyed God died, except two people. Two people lived through those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Joshua, who took the place of Moses as leader, and a man named Caleb. Today, I want to speak to you about Caleb. Caleb is 85 years old, and we're going to pick up the story now in your Bible. So now open your Bibles to Joshua 14, beginning with verse 6. This is the rest of the story, you might hear, you might say. Listen to what happens now after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, one of two who lived, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. Now, this is important, folks. He's 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going out and coming. So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba, was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. All right. Today I want to speak to you about staying in the game, training for endurance, and I want to speak to you about spiritual endurance. Now, when it comes to physical endurance, everybody here knows that if you want to physically have endurance, you got to plan for it. You've got to practice. You've got to run. Have you ever run a marathon, a triathlon, or any kind of event? Raise your hand if you've ever run anything. Ever played sports? Well, if you're going to run, You want to build up endurance, okay? But if you've ever run, you know there's a lot of obstacles out there. Hills, valleys, rain, shine, snow. If you're going to run and prepare for endurance, there's a lot of obstacles. Pun intended, if you're going to run on a road, you got to be careful of the obstacles of cars, right? Because they might run you over. Yeah. You know what you get when you run behind a car? Exhausted. You know what happens when you run in front of a car? You get tired. Some of you will get that later on this afternoon. That's okay. Oh, wow, tired. Okay. Well, today I want to speak to you about your spiritual life. I don't want you to get exhausted or tired when it comes to your spiritual walk in life or being in that game of life. And to do this, we're going to take a look at Caleb and learn from a gentleman who was 85 years old, and he was as strong as ever. Let's take a look at number one, the first thing we learn from Caleb, Caleb's methodology. Number one, follow the Lord wholly, or 100%. That's what holy means, 100%. You know, if you're going to physically get in shape, or if you're going to run a marathon or a triathlon, do you approach that at 50%? It's raining today, I'm not going to practice, no. If you want to make it to the Olympics, you got to practice endurance at 100%. Well, when it comes to your spiritual life, you really can't approach it at 50% or 60%. You got to do it wholeheartedly, 100%. Listen to what we learn about Caleb. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. Yet, I wholly followed the Lord my God. This is where God wants his people, wholeheartedly to follow him. You know, have you ever felt like you're melting in life? Have you ever felt like things don't go your way? Have you ever gotten angry at life and felt like you were melting? I believe, especially among Christians, that that will happen if you're not wholly committed to God. If you approach your Christianity or your walk with God at 50%, I believe life will melt you. That's what happened to the 10 spies, you might say, and the people. They melted in fear. They melted in anguish. They weren't going to follow the Lord. But not Caleb. Caleb again and again says, I follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Where are you today in your walk with God? Do you approach it as ho-hum? Are you wholly committed or not? Well, if you want to be spiritually strong and have endurance, here's the first step. We learn it from Caleb. Be wholly committed to God. That's 100%. And I believe that's where God wants you. Number two, adjust to obstacles. Let me tell you about life if you don't know it. There's obstacles. There's ups, there's down. The sun shines and there is rain. What do you do when you face an obstacle? Now, as a runner, you adjust to it. If there's something in your way, you go around it. Caleb was really good at adjusting to obstacles. He was sent into the promised land. 10 said no, he wanted to go, but he adjusted to that. Listen to what happens. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever. because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. He had to deal with that obstacle of not going. Do you realize God sometimes places obstacles in your life? Why? To hurt you? No, to make you better. In fact, every obstacle you face in life, in your marriage, raising your children, makes you stronger. It is there to help you. Listen to the promise God makes. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope will not fail us. If God wants to make you a better Christian, wants you to be a stronger spiritual person, he's going to place obstacles in your life. Let me tell you about two salesmen who went to Africa. Two salesmen who went to Africa to sell shoes years ago when the only form of communication was the telegraph. They both went to Africa. They both ran into obstacles. One telegraphs back to his company and says, "No prospects in Africa. I'm coming home soon. Nobody wears shoes here." Another salesman, same place, same location, sends a telegraph. "Empty the warehouses. Send me every pair of shoes you have. So many prospects. Nobody owns shoes in Africa." You see that obstacle? What do you do when you face obstacles in your life? Huh? Do you think it's there? You melt away from them? Or do you say, an obstacle is an opportunity to get better, to do more? Yeah, that will build endurance. Being 100% committed to God. When you face obstacles in life, hey, you know God is doing that to make you stronger. You know the greatest obstacle Caleb faced? Now think about it. 12 tribes. They all have to pick a leader to send as a spy. Judah is where we get the name Jews from. The tribe of Judah became the Jewish tribe or the Jewish nation. They picked Caleb. You know what's interesting? Caleb was not a Jew. Caleb was a foreigner, adopted, came into the Jewish nation. He was a Kenizzite. The Bible says again and again and again. So the biggest obstacle he faced, can you believe it, would be somebody saying, "He's not one of us." Yeah, but yet he adjusted to that and became a leader, went into the promised land, came back with a good report. Yeah, it would be, now those of you who have a little more understanding of, you know, it would be if the chairman of the congregation was picked by the people and he was not born and raised in that congregation. Oh, it'd be like the president of a Lutheran church, not born and raised Lutheran. An obstacle. But Caleb said, it's okay. He was spiritually strong because he wholehearted followed the Lord. Adjust to obstacles. This is number three. Be patient. Be patient. Listen to how patient Caleb had to be. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness." Have you ever waited 45 years for anything? Have you ever prayed about something and God didn't answer it? Have you ever had to be patient? Yeah, being patient is good for you. It'll make you stronger. Have you ever heard this? Be careful how you pray. If you pray for patience, God may just give you children. Yeah, amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about the secret of being patient. the secret for being patient. Find something productive to do in the meantime. You're always going to be waiting for something in your life. You're going to melt if you don't find something productive to do in the meantime. You hear the one about the guy who went to the intersection with his car and it stalled. He tried to start it and it just wouldn't start. He tried and tried. Somebody pulled up behind him, beeping the horn. Maybe you've done that to somebody. Just beeping the horn in the meantime. And the guy tried to start it, and just wouldn't start. The guy in the back just kept beeping his horn. Finally got out of his car, walked over to the guy beeping his horn. He rolled down his window, and he said, I'll tell you what, I've been trying to start this car. It won't start. Why don't you go try to start my car, and I'll sit in your car and beep the horn? That's not finding something productive to do, is it? Yeah. You know, I've had to be patient in my car. Maybe at a traffic stop or in traffic or waiting on my wife. Don't tell her I said that. You know what I do sometimes in my car? I got a little towel there with some water. I wet it and I'll just start cleaning, you know, my dash and, you know, the column between, because, you know, it always gets so dirty. I'm spilling coffee or whatever. I find something productive to do while I'm waiting, listening to the radio or something. What do you do when you're asked to be patient? Are you impatient? Let me tell you what Caleb did. We know this from the scriptures. He celebrated the feasts. He celebrated the Sabbath, meaning he went to church in the meantime. Because let me tell you something, every one of you will be waiting for death someday. Yeah. What do you do in the meantime? Caleb worshiped the Lord. Caleb celebrated the feast. Caleb read his Bible. Caleb prayed. Caleb loved the Lord his God and helped other people. You can just see Caleb being an optimist, being a positive person in the tribe of Judah, where he was a foreigner. But he's such a positive person. He's a hero. What can you do in the meantime? Well, you can read the Bible, go to church, be inspired. Word and sacrament ministry, it'll make you stronger. You can read your porters of prayer. You can do a devotion. Listen, that'll help you. Wholly committed to the Lord. Adjust to all those obstacles. Okay? And number three, be patient. Number four, this is what happens. I believe this. If you put God number one and you read the Bible, study His Word, this is what's going to happen to you spiritually. Endurance. Listen. Know He will strengthen you. Listen to Caleb. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going out and for coming in. Do you know anybody 85 years old? Yeah. My mother is 87 years old. She's blind. She's confined to a chair and needs help eating and going to the restroom. She's not as strong as she was 40 years ago. But Caleb was 85, and he was physically strong, I believe, because he was spiritually strong. He didn't melt away and die off as the other spies. Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord. He found something beneficial to do in the meantime for 40-some years. Now, Caleb was one of 12 spies. Joshua, the leader, and him were the two spies. Joshua now separates the land, and everybody stepped in and said, I want this land, I want that land. 11 tribes took the best land. There was one piece of land left nobody wanted, Hebron. Why? Because the giants lived there. Ever heard of David and Goliath? Well, there were three giants and their families that lived in Hebron. Okay? The sons of Anak. They were giants like David and Goliath. Nobody wanted that land, but let me tell you, an 85-year-old man said, "Give it to me. I'll conquer it." You can just see the young bucks going, "You're too old." He goes, "No, I'm not. I'm as strong as ever. I'll take on the land of giants." And you know, he did. Hebron is a name that means fellowship. Hebron is where God said to Abraham, "Look at the stars." He fellowshipped with Abraham and said, "As the stars are, so are your descendants." Caleb knew that. Even though Abraham was not his forefather, he said, "That's where I want to live. I want to fellowship with God." What does Hebron represent for us here today? Heaven. Heaven is that place we'll be face to face with our God, and we'll fellowship with him forever, with the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. Although Caleb was 85, he was strong as ever. You know that takes place today, the same blessing. In my ministry, I do a lot of shut-in calls. In my ministry, I go to a lot of nursing homes. And most of the people I visit 85 years or older are very frail. Maybe you have a mother in the nursing home. Maybe you visited somebody. But I'm telling you, everyone here, if the good Lord doesn't take you beforehand, may end up in a nursing home or a shut-in, and someday your children will be there too. That's life. We are waiting for old age to cripple us and eventually death to take us. But I'm here to tell you, the people I visit in the nursing homes and shut-ins, they are spiritually strong. They are so strong. My mother may be frail, but spiritually she is as strong as ever. When I visit people in the nursing home and shut-ins, they are so strong. Why? They find something productive to do in the meantime. They read the Bible. They pray. I had one lady I visited for years. I'd bring her the bulletin and a tape of my message. And I say, "What do you do with that?" She goes, "Well, Pastor, I sit down, I open up my hymnal, and I sing along with every song you sang. I read the liturgy, and then I listen to your message. I participate. It is so wonderful, Pastor." You see, when we get older and frail, we will be at the foothills of the promised land. I want you, as your pastor, I want you to be spiritually fit and strong as ever. Meaning, I believe, right at the end of life, you could be the strongest spiritually. And you can look at the three giants that every one of us here will face at the end of life. And you say, "Bring it on. I can handle those giants." You know what the giants are that every one of us will face in life? Sin, death, and the power of the devil. And the closer you get to death, a divorce takes place. Yes, you heard me right. You see, Caleb divorced himself from Egypt and said, "I want to go to Hebron. That's my future." What did the 10 spies? "No, I don't want that divorce. I'm going back to Egypt." Caleb looked forward. The 10 spies looked back. Where are you looking? Are you looking forward to heaven? Hebron? Fellowship with God? Well, I want you to be physically strong. Okay. You know, people in the nursing home, people who have walked with Christ all their life are so spiritually strong. When you ask them about sin, they go, "You know, yep, I've sinned, but I've been covered by the blood of Jesus my entire life. I'm a child of God." When it comes to the deception of the devil, they're like, "You know, that guy's been messing with me all my life, but Jesus died on the cross and crushed his head. The devil can't touch me." When it comes to death, you know how they face death? Almost every shut-in person in the nursing home I visit, they're like, "Why is God keeping me here? I'm ready to go." They've divorced themselves from this life. They can't wait for that big feast and family reunion in heaven, and they want to go. You see, the ultimate last giant is death. But it doesn't faze us. We can be Calebs and we can say, "Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's already defeated that Goliath. I don't have to worry about it. Death is just that doorway to the promised land, and I can't wait. Wow, that's spiritually strong. That's having endurance. No matter what you face in life, let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of obstacles. I want it to be well with your soul. Wholeheartedly serve the Lord. Adjust to obstacles of many in life. Find something productive to do in the meantime for the rest of your life. And know this, He will strengthen you. I'm going to close with these words. Listen to Isaiah 40, 29. Just listen to the words. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases his strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. There's that term. But they who wait, those who are patient for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That's good news for us because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who took care of sin, death, and the power of the devil for us. He is our Caleb, who has fought for us. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you for an opportunity to share the story of Caleb, an 85-year-old man who took on the job of being a scout, a spy. And while Judah said, no, we don't want to go, he said, let's go. After waiting 40 years, you gave him the promised land. He conquered Hebron. What a blessing. In life, as we go forward, may we know that our physical ability will never affect our spiritual endurance. But our spiritual endurance can affect us physically. It can melt us away. We can get burned out. We can be discouraged, but never the other way. No matter what happens to us physically, spiritually we can be strong, and that's good news. Help us to be spiritually strong. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.